your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 11th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1061, beginning with verse 22, we'll read responsively through verse 26. The 24th verse is the text verse. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26, page 1061. And may we stand, please, as is our custom, to stand for the reading of the Word of God. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And let's read 26 also together. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
I was amazed when I found, without your turning to it, our text verse this morning had a certain verb that was in the past tense. I did not understand it. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. Now I want you to think about that for a second. Look right this way. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that ye have received them. Then say, believe that you shall receive them. It says, when you pray, believe that you have received them. And the Bible says that's the way you can get them. I want to talk this morning on the subject, how to never want for a thing. How to never want for a thing. My text is that amazing verse. So when you pray, believe that ye have received them, and ye shall have them. Follow me carefully for a few moments. We're plainly told in the Bible what we're to ask for, plainly. If you know anything about what we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing asked for so far. Then it says, Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first thing we'd ask for. Then it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's the second thing we'd ask for. Then, in Luke 11, when that is mentioned, it starts talking about asking for bread for a friend who's come at midnight. And he asks for 3 loaves of bread so that I have nothing to set before him. Now, in that 11th chapter of Luke, we have the Lord's Prayer. Don't miss what I'm saying now because it's the foundation of the whole sermon. There are only 4 things. In that entire thing, God tells us to pray for. Now, the word praying, meaning asking. He says, first thing you do is you ask for your own bread. Didn't say ask for a chocolate sundae. Didn't say ask for a pizza. I think God sometimes will give you pizza, but we don't have to ask for that. God says, ask for bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Secondly, he said, ask for God to forgive you of your sins. Thirdly, he said, ask for the power of God, for God to use you in being able to help your friends. It said, if earthly fathers will give good gifts to their children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So we're supposed to pray for the power of God. And 4, we're supposed to pray for others to get bread also. That's all. That's all. That's all you're supposed to ask. There it is, right there. They said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now, don't miss me now. He said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, okay, Jesus said, I'm going to teach you to pray. First, ask for bread. Second, ask for forgiveness. Third, ask for the power of God. Fourth, ask for bread for you to give your friends. That's all. That's all. That's prayer. Now, how about our desires? How about our desires? I mean, don't we have a right to ask for more than bread? Can't we ask for a T-bone steak? Don't have to. Jesus said, when you pray. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. You see, let me give you a little several little points here, line upon line, precept upon precept. Number one is, Jesus has something for you. Number two, you delight in Him. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So He has something for you. Now, maybe you don't want it, what He has for you. But you delight in Him. Are you listening to me, young people? You delight in Him. And then, after you delight in Him, He makes you want what He already has for you. So, there's no need to ask. He already has it for you. You know, we pray too much for stuff we don't need to pray for. Did you know you don't need to pray for peace? You pick peace up while you're asking for bread. Lord said, when you ask. Didn't say, ask for what you desire. Says, when you pray. He said, when you pray, believe that you've already received what you desire, and you'll get it. Now listen, there are some things you don't have to pray for. There's far too much time spent by God's people praying for things that are already ours. Don't have to pray for them. God's already got your name on them. They're already yours. All you got to do is pick them up. So the Lord said, it's already yours. When you come to pray, pick these other things up too while you're there. He said again. He said, when you come to ask for bread, when you come to ask for forgiveness, when you come to ask for God's power, when you come to ask for bread for others, He said, while you're there to ask for these things I told you to ask for, He said, if you will delight in Me, then I'll give you the desires of your heart. What you want, I'll give it to you because you want what I have. I had it for you already. Then you delighted yourself in Me, and then I made you want what I had. I gave you the desires of your heart. I made you want what I had. So just pick it up. Now listen to me. My soul, while you're asking for things, what a shame not to take what's already yours while you're there. I mean, God's got some things you don't have to ask for. You'll never have to ask God for His peace. It's already yours. My peace give I unto you. You just go to the throne of grace, and while you're asking for bread, pick up what's yours. Say, God, I want some bread. By the way, I came to claim my peace while I'm here. Dear God, I want some bread. I want some forgiveness. While I'm here, I came to pick up that which is already mine. It's got my name on it right here. It's called joy. You don't have to ask God for joy. Joy is a gift of God, just like salvation is a gift of God. Oh, God, give me joy. Fool you on, don't ask Him for bread. Ask Him for forgiveness. Pick up your joy while you're there getting the other, begging for the other stuff. That's what He's saying. I was at a cleaner's not long ago. I'd forgotten, left a pair of pants there. I'd already paid for them, too, by the way. They billed me for them and already paid for them. I went back and I took another pair of pants. I said, can I get these pants clean, please? He said, yeah, but he said, look, you got a pair here already that already paid for. Why don't you pick those up while you're here? That's what God is saying. God is saying, you're supposed to ask for your bread. You're supposed to ask for your forgiveness. You're supposed to ask for the power of God. You're supposed to, ask for bread for others. But God says, while you are here, there's some things that are already yours. So when ye pray, believe that you already have received. Bless God, I don't have to ask God to save my soul. It's already mine. That's God's God for peace or contentment or joy or His presence. It's already mine. Oh, I wish I could teach you how to be Christians. I really do. I hunger to teach you how to be Christians. You go around, oh, God, I feel miserable. Oh, God, something wrong with me. Oh, God, I'm unhappy. Oh, God, I'm depressed. Oh, shut up. When you go and ask God for bread, pick up a bunch of joy while you're there. Your name's on it. When ye pray, believe that you've already received what you desire, and God says you can have it. You go ask for things, and while you're there asking for things, you don't even pick up what is really yours. Let me illustrate. Brother Eddie brought this out in his sermon Friday morning. It's very interesting because I was going to preach on this, and this is a little part of my sermon. He mentioned something about the promised land. The land of Canaan was the promised land. Did you know that the Battle of Jericho need never have been fought? Did you know the Battle of Ai need never have been fought and the Jordan River need never have been crossed? When the Israelites came to the Promised Land and sent out those 12 spies to see if they could take it, that land is called the Promised Land. It's already theirs. It was the Promised Land. It was theirs. They didn't. All they had to do was go in, set up housekeeping. Now, the reason they had to fight the Battle of Jericho is because they did not go in 40 years before when they should have gone in. They could have gone in 40 years before they fought the Battle of Jericho without fighting a battle or picking up a sword or walking around the city of Jericho or blowing their trumpets. They could have walked in and possessed the land. It was their land. It was the Promised Land. God had promised it to them. It was theirs. And the tragedy is, you said here this morning, miserable when joy is already written in heaven for you. Go pick it up. You said here, we're frustrated without the peace of God when God's already given you peace. It's yours. You don't have to pray for peace. You don't have to pray for contentment. You don't have to pray for joy. You don't have to pray for your desires. The Lord said, when you pray, believe that you have received your desires. Now, not one place in the Bible says you're supposed to pray for a new blue suit in Rosalie's window. Not one place in the Bible says you're supposed to pray for a New York sirloin strip steak, medium well, with mushrooms and gravy on it, and a potato beside of it with cheese on top of it, and a salad beside that with blue cheese dressing, and a piece of pecan pie beside that warmed a little bit in the oven, and a little melting ice cream on top of that pecan pie. No place in the Bible says we'll pray for that. I wish there were. I'd pray for it now. But no place in the Bible says we'll pray for that. That's your desires. It said pray for bread. It didn't say give us this day our daily New York sirloin strip with mushroom sauce and mushrooms and a potato with cheese on top. Melted cheese. And a salad with blue cheese dressing and pecan pie with ice cream on the top. In the first place, what a room in the Bible to put that. The Lord says, here's how you pray. Pray for your daily bread. Pray for your daily bread. But he said, while you're there praying for your daily bread, if you got any desires, if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires you want to have. And while you're there, you can pick up your peace and pick up your joy and pick up your happiness and pick up your contentment. It's already yours. It was paid for on Calvary. You don't have to pray for it. It's yours. Listen. Anything Jesus paid for on the cross, you haven't got to pray for. Take it. Just take it. So here come these Jews. They come down from the land of Egypt. They're coming toward the Promised Land. They come right to the door of the Promised Land. By the way, they didn't have to come around down south of the Dead Sea and come back up from the east side and go toward the west side and cross the Jordan River. That was not God's plan. God's plan was not for them to go through across the Jordan River. They were not supposed to come to the Promised Land by Jericho in the first place. They wouldn't have had to fight the Battle of Jericho if 40 years ago they'd believed what we know now. It was the Promised Land. God said, I'll give you the land. Go and possess it. To possess something, you go get it. That's all. You don't fight for it. You just go get it. It is yours. It's the Promised Land. They would not have had to fight the battles if they had taken what was theirs already. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not one word about prayer. Not one word. God doesn't want you spending your time asking for desires. He says, I love you. I'll give you, if you'll delight yourself in me and enjoy my company, enjoy my fellowship. I love you. I'll give you what you want. I'll make you want what you ought to want, then I'll give you what you want. Pray for peace in your own heart. You don't have to pray for contentment. It's already yours. Got your name on it. Pick it up. Where do you get it? You get down to that same place you pray. So why do you go down to pray for bread? Pick up your peace. Claim it. Don't ask for it. Claim it. You can ask for it if you want to, but you don't have to ask for it. Claim it. It's yours. Why do you go down there and pray for forgiveness? Listen, you ought to spend a lot less time praying for that chicken salad sandwich and more time praying for God to forgive your sins. You ought to be more concerned about the condition of your spirit instead of the condition of your stomach. You ought to spend more time praying for God to forgive your sins and less time praying for God to give you that pretty girl in the fourth row from the front in math class. I'm simply saying God says, pray for your bread, pray for forgiveness, pray for God's power, pray for other people to have their bread supplied. But he said, while you're there praying, he said, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you have them. You don't get these things by praying. You get these things by believing you have them. They're yours. Pick them up. They're taken. You know, listen, you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to live without peace. You don't have to live without contentment. You don't have to live without joy. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not happy, it's because you have not picked up what your name is already on. And tear those stupid books on how to get contentment up and burn them. Got too many preachers running around here writing on how to have peace of mind when you ought to be preaching on getting people saved and getting folks out of hell and preach the Word of God instead of a bunch of second-rate, two-bit psychologists trying to write on how to have peace of mind. I'll tell you how to have peace of mind. It's been bought for you on the cross. Go get it. When you pray, go get it. It's there. It's yours. Your name is on it. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat one time, I'm not sure exactly this verse, I think it's 2 Kings 22:5, but he said, what? Know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not? He said it's ours. That high, advantageous spot in the promised land called Ramoth in Gilead, it's ours. And here we sit, and don't take it. Peace is mine, ours. And here we sit and don't take it. Contentment, contentment's ours. But here we sit and don't take it. We got folks all over this room this morning depressed. You haven't got to be depressed. Well, brother, how's what I do? Go to the psychiatrist? No, he's depressed too. Especially if you don't come pay him $100 an hour. Best way for him to help you is not charge you anything. That'd help you have. Listen, if he sent you a bill and said that was free, that'll cheer up your depression. If he could help you, you'd be depressed when you got his bill. I'm simply saying, look, you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be blue. All you got to do is go to the throne of grace and say, God, give me my bread, forgive my sins, and give me your power. And bless others and help me to be able to have the power of God so I can help others. And by the way, Lord, I left something here. It's got my name on it. My name is Jack Hiles. I want to pick it up while I'm here. What is it? Peace. What is it? Joy. What is it? Contentment. What is it? Satisfaction. What is it? Blessedness. What is it? It's free. Get it while you're praying. But don't spend your time praying for it. God said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, one of those things, as I mentioned a while ago, salvation. I'm going to shock you. You don't have to ask for salvation. You don't have to pray to get saved. It's already yours. You don't have to ask God for something that's yours. The Bible said, whosoever will, there, take it. Now, if you want to pray this morning and ask God to forgive your sins and tell God you're trusting Christ, there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to. Listen, if this morning you sit there and you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I know I'm a sinner. Number two, I know that sinners are lost and headed for hell. Wicked shall be turned to hell and all those that forget God. Then should have said to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Those not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You said the first thing I know is I'm a sinner. Second thing I know, if I died this very moment, I'd go to hell. And by the way, if you're not saved, if your name is not written in heaven, if you died right now, within that much time, you'd be burning in the fires of torment from which you'd never be let out.
This is one lady said that not long ago to me. She said, this is 1988. I said, you don't look that smart, but you got it right anyway. I want to give you some homework. Come back next Sunday and tell me what month it is. I don't care what month it is. This Bible is eternally true. Always has been true. Always will be true. You've got one choice of two. You've got heaven with Jesus or hell without Him. That's all choice. You say, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm lost and headed for hell. But blessed be God, I know that God became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. And I know that Jesus Christ came to earth. And I know He became a virgin born Son of God. And I know He lived a perfect life and never sinned one time, meaning He did not have to pay the price for sinning for Himself. But He went to the cross, and on the cross He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which means that God the Father was forsaking God the Son, which means that Jesus Christ was dipping His own soul in the torments of hell in your place as your substitute. All you've got to know is that you're a sinner and that sinners are condemned to go to hell and that Jesus Christ came and paid your hell for you. He paid your sin debt for you. And it's already yours. And if you'll say, "By cracky, I'll take it," you got it. You got it. You don't even have to say, "By cracky." You can say, "Hot dog," or "Whoopee," or "Rah-rah," or "Nothing. I'll take it." If you know this plan, all you got, if I put my hand out and said, "Are you willing to take this deal, this plan," realizing you're a sinner and sinners are lost without God, that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners. Are you willing to accept that? If you are, take my hand. And brother, if you take my hand, you don't have to ask for it. Asking for it works. You don't ask for a gift, you take it. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's why I don't like the folks to say, "Oh, come and get saved. Pray through." You have to pray through. All you got to do is take. "Whosoever thirst, let him take of the water of life freely." Jesus bought it. Your name is on it. Salvation's yours. Heaven's your home. God's your Father. Jesus is your Savior. You haven't got to ask for it. Take it. That's all you've got to do. Anybody in this room right this very minute who will say, "I know I'm a sinner. I know sinners are lost and headed for hell. I know that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners. And I know it's a gift of God. And I take it now. I take it now, that moment." If you died, you'd go to heaven and walk golden streets through gates of pearl. There's more heresy being preached on salvation in Baptist churches than most of the other churches. Give your heart to Jesus and you'll be saved. That's not in the Bible. You don't have to give anything to get saved. You take something to get saved. God didn't say salvation is your gift to me of your heart. He said salvation is my gift to you of eternal life. Take it. Take it. Can't pray? Take it. You don't have to ask for it. You have to ask for your bread. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to ask for the power of God. You've got to ask for God to use you to help others. But you don't have to ask for eternal life. You accept it as a gift. Something else you get while you're praying. When you pray, also pick up His presence. His presence is yours. You don't ever have to say again, "Dear God, go with me today." He's going to go with you whether you want to or not. Claim His presence. You don't have to ask for His presence. You spend too much time. Are you listening to me? You're talking to each other too much. Listen to me. Listen to me. Baptist people all across this nation are spending too much time praying for their desires. My Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord. He should give thee the desires of thy heart." And the word "delight" doesn't mean pray. It means enjoy His fellowship, and He'll give you what you want. But He'll change your wanter so you want what He already had for you in the first place. But you pick that up. When? When you pray. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it, He'll give it to you. We're spending too much time praying for what's already got our name on the ticket. No need to ask for His presence 366 times in the Bible. 366 times in the Bible. He tells us He's with us. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you're stuck with Him. You can't get away from Him. You don't have to pray, "Oh, Lord, be with me at work today." That's silly.
Why don't you spend time asking for forgiveness and picking up His presence while you're getting the forgiveness? Your name's on it. 366 times in the Bible, He says He'll never leave us. That's one for every day. And God said, 1 year and 4 leap year, I don't want you to be able to live one day of your life, not one day of your life, without My presence. I'm always there. I'm always there. Christians all over America spend, oh God, give me Your presence. Oh God, give me peace. Oh God, give me joy. God says, ask for your bread. Ask for forgiveness. That's one reason you don't get much of anything. You don't spend time asking God to forgive you. Make a list of your sins. Dwight L. Moody said, a fellow came down the aisle one time and said, I want God to forgive me. He said, for what? He said, I don't know what I've done. Mr. Moody said, guess at it. He said, he guessed it the first time. You know what it is. You know your dirty sin. You know your dirty lustful heart. You know your dirty wicked heart. You know your envy. You know your jealousy. You know what you've been reading. You know what you've been thinking. You know what you've been looking at on television. You know the bitterness in your heart. You know the hatred in your heart. You know the vengeance in your heart. Guess at it. You know what it is. Guess at it. Spend your time saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, forgive me. And God said, don't forget your peace while you're here. Oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. God said, by the way, I got a package of joy here to take home with you. I'll get you joy while you're here. I didn't even ask for that. Do I have to ask for it? It's already yours, He said. When you pray, watch for the things you desire. There's not one single thing in the Lord's Prayer about a desire. Read it. Not one single thing about praying for your desires. Anybody here ever go to a restaurant and they say, what do you want? I just want a good old piece of bread. Sturgis will call a psychiatrist. I want a piece of bread. No. Bread comes with the meal. But what God says is this. God says you don't ask for your desires. He said you ask for bread. You ask for forgiveness. Listen, if you will spend 15 minutes a day doing nothing but asking for God to forgive your sins and listing your sins, you'll be amazed the things you'll happen to realize that are yours right there waiting for your name on a package. You spend too much time praying for your selfish desires when God says if you'll pray for your bread and pray for forgiveness and pray for God's power and pray for others, He said, I've got all your desires here. Pick them up while you're here. Oh, I love that. Let me share something with you and I'll close. You know, I had a little following week ago Friday. I had a sort of a mental exhaustion, and I was preaching in South Carolina. And I gave the same illustration. I repeated myself, gave the same illustration over. I got a telegram from Dr. Dallas Dobson out in Washington. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, from what they said, I don't see anything wrong with you. He said, I've known you for years. You repeat yourself all the time. One of my favorite statements to God is this. Dear Lord, You decide. Give me something. Surprise me. Be amazed how much fun that can be. Dear God, give me something and surprise me. The hardest walk I've ever taken in my life was right down that aisle in Sunday school we could go today. The hardest walk I've ever taken. The second hardest walk I've ever taken in my life was the pulpit last Monday night at my first Bible conference after my hospitalization. And the third hardest walk I've ever taken in my life was through that door last Wednesday night for youth conference. Monday afternoon, I begged God. I said, God, people are going to be looking at me very carefully. Especially toward the close of the sermon. That's why I usually have problems. Folks came to look at me very carefully. And I said, God, give me something tonight. Give me a little surprise. Just pick it out. Doesn't matter. Just give me something special tonight. Then I got thinking. I'm a little afraid to tackle one of my old sermons. I know yesterday morning I preached a certain sermon, and I know it was okay, so I think I'm going to go on familiar territory and preach the same sermon tonight I preached yesterday morning at First Baptist Church. Remember the one I preached last Sunday morning? The fact that nothing can die. A word is always there, it'll never die. A scene is always there, it'll never die. Thought's always there, it'll never die. And hope never dies. The thing you hope may die, but the hoper is still there. Pick up the hope and hope something else. I said the plan never dies. What you plan may die, but the plan is still there. Pick up the planner and plan something else. I said the dream, what you dream may die, but the dream does not die. I said pick up the dreamer and dream something else. So I preached that Monday night just so I wouldn't have to. I knew I could preach that one. So I preached it Monday night. And funny thing, everything in the world could happen. Everything I touched for 4 or 5 days broke. From here all the way. It broke. And we laughed about it. Jack Scott went with me on this trip. He'd planned to go all along. Everything broke. Went to my motel room, turned the TV on. Something went wrong with it. Went over to the bed, turned the light on beside the bed. Broke. Went in the bathroom, turned the light on the bathroom. Broke. Went to church last night, started preaching. Microphone broke right in the middle of the sermon. Tuesday morning, went to church. Jack Scott and I were sitting back there by ourselves on half of a pew. All of a sudden, cracked. Everybody in the place heard it. Turned around, and everywhere, sitting up like this. And he and I were laughing so loud, we almost destroyed the whole sermon of the fellow priest before me. Folks, don't get around me. There's a curse on me. But I said, dear Lord, I really could use tonight a little encouragement. I think I could. But I said before I went Monday night, I said, Lord, I don't know what to ask you for. Just help me, but I need just surprise me with something special. Tuesday morning when the pastor was up introducing speakers, he said, folks, I want to tell you a story happened last night. He said, my wife had gallbladder surgery not long ago. We didn't know a surgeon. We prayed for God to lead us to the right surgeon. Somebody told us the best surgeon in the whole area was a certain doctor. We went to him and he operated and the wife's fine. We invited the doctor to come to church, but he said maybe sometime. He said he was a saved man, but maybe he might come to church sometime. The pastor said, ladies and gentlemen, to my surprise, he was here last night, here, Dr. Hiles. And he said, to my complete surprise, when the invitation came, that doctor came and knelt at the altar and cried like a baby. He said, I didn't know it, but said my doctor told me after the service his wife had left him a few days before. Just decided to come. Whoever's preaching down there, you want to go hear him. He promised he'd come. That doctor walked in that strange church which he'd never visited, sat there in a strange congregation. Before it was over, that surgeon was on his knees asking God to help him. And he said, that, you know, that man preached that sermon, hope doesn't die. He said, I got my hope again. He said, I picked it up. What I had hoped is dead, but I picked up the hoper, and I'm going to hope something else. The doctor said, preacher, he said, my whole life was changed and transformed tonight. Isn't that a wonderful surprise that God gave me last Monday night when I needed it desperately? Last night we were sitting in our male staff meeting with the Ray Young's mother and father. I did not know they were in my service. They go to a church in Shreveport. Brother Ray Young said last night at the meeting, he said, Brother Hiles, said, Monday night, I don't, your sermon, he said, whatever you preach Monday night, said it transformed something. I said, what's that? He said, my mom and daddy go to a church. Church hadn't been doing very well. And said, the mom and dad and the pastor all came Monday night to hear you preach. And said, the church had decided to disband, close its doors. Said, you preached that sermon on, or you said you said something, and I preached that sermon on, what you planned is going to rise. Your plan is still there. Pick it up and plan something else. He said they came to the altar that night and decided not to close the doors of the church and to keep the church open. One sermon, the fellow would all be in the hospital probably preached. I said, God, surprise me tonight. Surprise me. Why don't you decide that you're going to start asking God for what He told you to ask for? Ask Him for bread. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him for His power. Tell you what you do. If you'll spend an hour a day, and you won't do it, but I mean if anybody will spend an hour a day, 30 minutes a day maybe, and you'll do nothing but pray, say, God, give me my bread. And then if you'll start praying the rest of the day, the rest of that time, for God to forgive your sins, and God to give you power, and God to help you to help other people. And God will say, hey, don't leave without the stuff I've already got ready for you. When you pray, believe that you have received, and you shall receive it. There's not one single need for anybody in this house to go one more minute without joy. You don't ask for it. Not one single need for anybody in this house to go one single minute more without peace. Not one single need for anybody in this house to go one single minute more without contentment and satisfaction. It's yours. All you got to do is when you pray. What do you pray for? Bread, forgiveness, God's power, and others. What do you pray for? Bread, forgiveness, God's power, and others. But how do you get peace? It's already there. Pick it up while you're at the throne of grace. Pick it up. And by the way, no longer is there one moment's need for anybody to go without salvation. You have to ask for it. You don't have to ask for it. If you will just say this morning, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm going to hell, and I know that Jesus suffered my hell for me and bought salvation for me and offers it to me as a gift, and if you will say it from your heart, mean it, I'll take it. You got it. Let us pray.